Welcome to the Movement and Mindset Podcast. Thank you for being here today. I am here with Megan Bowen, the founder and creator of Dance From Home. I'm so excited to talk to you, Megan. I've been following you for a few months now. A friend from my college actually sent me your account because she was like, this girl's energy is just amazing and you need it in your life. And I could not agree more. I fell in love with you from the moment I started following you. And I just love how you make dance like so fun and approachable, because sometimes I do feel like in theater that isn't a thing. So I love that about you. For those who don't know you, how about you introduce yourself, tell everyone where you're from and what you do?
Yeah, well, my name's Megan Bowen. I am originally from California, from Southern California, Temecula, near San Diego. And I'm currently based in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn, and I'm a professional dancer, performer, COVID times, although I still am, as well as a fitness professional. And during the pandemic, I started my own business. So now I am also an entrepreneur and business owner.
Amazing. So I like starting this by going like way back to the beginning and asking what your first introduction to fitness was.
Yeah. My first introduction was the app. It was, I think at the time, and I don't like the name, but I think it was like Bikini Body Something by Kayla.
Yep. I did that too.
Yeah. And that was like my first, I was interested in fitness, and that was my first thing that I had saw, because it really grew on Instagram. So, you know, I downloaded the app, and her thing was like the 14 or 24 minute workout. So I did that. And then I had transitioned to CrossFit for a moment, which was,
oh wow.
I know. Yeah.
That's intense.
Which is how I got an introduction to weight training and lifting weights. Luckily the CrossFit gym that I trained at was super specific on form. So I actually learned a great deal of what I know now and like body placement through that CrossFit gym, which I know there are horror stories with CrossFit, but I actually had a really great experience. However, it wasn't going to be something I was going to continue. So I kind of left that a little, was just dancing. My introduction back into like the fitness world was when I moved to New York after graduating from college. I had hired a trainer and she gave me a workout program, which unfortunately was accompanied by a cleanse, which was the downfall of this program that I did. I developed really bad habits from that, so I kind of left that. And eventually I circled back into fitness for myself about a year and a half ago with my current trainer, Amber of Dancers Who Lift. And I've been working one-on-one with her for about a year and a half. But yeah, as far as teaching, you know, I got my certifications. I've been teaching in the city, mostly dance, but I've done HIIT classes, kickboxing classes, all that stuff.
Yeah, I love that you had such a good experience with CrossFit, because I actually really like CrossFit. Like, I like the idea of CrossFit. And it's really fortunate that your gym was so focused on form, because I know that is like with the interval training, and it's really intense, and it's like, go hard, go hard, go hard. But I like the foundation of CrossFit, you know?
Yeah. And it was really great. And I'm so lucky I had a great gym, or else, you can really hurt yourself with a
limited. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So you're currently working with a trainer and doing weightlifting. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm really big on trainers having trainers. So
yes, I love that.
We always have to keep learning. So I have hired her. She's been with me for over a year and a half, and she's really just switched my mindset as far as cross training, especially as a dancer, and what that entails and what that can look like. And you know, I was used to overworking and in the gym 5-6 days a week and just kind of going crazy with restrictions. And she was like, hey, Megan, no, that's not what we do. So I started learning from her. And after we started doing that, that's when I went to go get my own certification, so I could kind of understand the science behind everything a little more. Yeah, that's how it kind of came to be.
So did you get certified in personal training or group fitness?
In personal training.
Amazing. That's so cool. What was that process like?
I did the NASM, which is what most, I feel like.
Ooh, same girl.
Yeah. So, you know, online studies and then you take your test and it's like, yay, you're a trainer. I never wanted to be a personal trainer. That was never something that I had a desire to do. I guess I never wanted to be, I don't know, responsible, or I just didn't, it wasn't what I wanted to do, but I think it's important if you're teaching any sort of fitness related activity, or group fitness or dance, really, that you should have some sort of understanding of where your body movement is coming from and some sort of like basic level nutrition, right? So that's always been important to me, which is why I decided to get that.
Yeah, I love that. I'm really big on education too. And even, you know, after you get certified, I feel like a lot of people, you know, they get certified and then they kind of stop. So I love that you're like still working with a trainer and still always like trying to find more education and learn more from other people. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk more specifically about dance. When did you start dancing?
Yeah, so I started dancing. My parents put me in dance when I was 3 years old, because I was very shy as a kid. I'm actually still incredibly shy in person.
I would have never guessed that. You seem so like outgoing, and I feel like you talk on your Instagram stories all the time, which is something that like I'm trying to get better at, because I'm like, people are like looking at me.
Yeah, it's super weird. That's like one thing that I've always been able to do and like is fun for me, but besides that, I think it's called an introverted extrovert or something like that. That's that's what I identify as. But I was really shy as a kid, so my parents decided to put me in dance class. And for the first, I think it was like 2 or 3 months, I just stood in the back corner of class with my arms crossed, and I just didn't want to partake in it. The switch flipped and I just decided to get dancing, and that was it. I never wanted to do anything else. So I grew up in a studio setting. I did competition dance. I went to university for dance, and I got intermixed with theater and drama. And that's kind of how I ended up here.
That's awesome. So you didn't start doing theater until after college or during college?
I had always sang, which I'm very fortunate. I had always loved singing. So I started doing lessons in fifth grade. And then I got into theater. A local community group used to do rehearsals at my dance studio. So I had somehow, I don't remember how I got involved, but I somehow got involved with them and I did 3 musicals with them around middle school before high school started. And when high school came, I had to choose between doing theater and doing the dance team that I had just made. And I decided to go with dance team. So I took a break from musical theater and singing in general. When I was going and applying for college, I thought I was really going to go into the modern classical jazz or classical dancer world. So I was doing all of that university just for strictly like BFA dance programs. That process for me was a mess. A bad experience. But I eventually got into my school, UC Irvine in California, through my grades. I eventually got into the dance program with them. And about halfway through my university studies, I just realized that I didn't really feel connected to classical dance on an emotional level. And also, I just didn't really see a lot of dancers that looked like me that were working in that realm. So luckily I was in a sorority, and once a year they have this event called Songfest, and it's where sororities partner with a fraternity and you get a musical and you have to condense it down to 12 minutes. And it's like this big competition. It's so fun.
That sounds so fun.
So I did that and I partook in it and I choreographed it, and our musical we were assigned was Pippin, and I had no idea what Pippin was.
Oh my God.
But that's what we did. And it was the best experience I'd ever had. I mean, not to brag, but we won every category. And it was just, it was so cool. And once that process was over, this was my junior year of college, I was just like, wait, I love musical theater. I forgot how much I love doing this. So I had heard of a program in our drama department. I knew our drama department was really good. They had a great MFA program, but they offered this, I'm doing air quotes, study abroad, where you apply, or you audition, actually. You audition for this program, and if you get accepted, the students, we would travel to New York and study and live out here for a month. And I did get accepted into that. My senior year, I came out here for a month, took industry workshops and classes and auditions, and just was living the life and fell absolutely in love with it. And that really sold me on picking this as my career. And I just felt really right and at home. So when I graduated, I spent about 3 months working to save up money, and I moved out to New York.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Through such a random experience, you came back to theater. I feel like I went to school for theater, but I'm not an actor anymore. But even as someone who like used to be an actor, going to see a show or just like talking to friends about it, like theater always feels like home. So I love that you can always find your way back.
That's exactly how I felt.
How do you feel like dance has impacted your fitness or vice versa?
I feel like my personal fitness journey has been rooted in my dance, because there was always a pressure for me to lose weight. And for those listening, I'm like, normally my body sits comfortably as like a mid-size is what you would call it, anywhere from like a size 10 to 12 or whatnot. And so my entire dance career, it was either like you need to lose weight or you have to get bigger. And so I just had a really complicated relationship on what I had to look like as a dancer. So that's kind of where I started getting into fitness. And unfortunately, it originally came from a place of not looking to have a healthy lifestyle. It came from a place of trying to get thinner. So that's where it started. I have a new relationship with fitness now, although there's some industry standards that are really hard to battle with still. So I think my fitness journey has been influenced by my dance. But kind of now, I use everything that I've learned in fitness as a way to help with my dancing and my movement quality. So yeah, I hope that answers.
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel like it's so unfortunate, because I do feel like a lot of people that I talk to that have been in some kind of performing arts, that is often where all of our fitness journeys began, was, you know, people just telling us that we needed to change the way we look, or we needed to look a certain way. And it's just, I hate that. And I think dancers get it more. And then I think like in college, that's where a lot of like actors start hearing that. Mm-hmm. I just hate that that's where a lot of people's fitness journeys start. But I do think that the industry is starting to change a little bit. And hopefully just starting to get more diverse and more accepting and focus on people's health, because like it's not all about what you look like, especially if you don't feel good on the inside.
Exactly. And just being strong enough to sustain whatever show, and realizing that strength can look differently at a bunch of different sizes, you know.
Absolutely, for sure. Could you walk us through what a day in the life of a professional dancer looks like?
Sure. Would you like the pre-COVID or current?
Let's talk pre-COVID first, and then we'll talk about like what the pandemic has sort of done to you as a dancer.
Yeah. So a day in my life pre-COVID, I was working five jobs before.
Oh my God.
I was working five jobs literally this time last year. And this time last year was the beginning of audition season. So a typical day, I am non-union, or EMC for those that know what that is, but Basically, I'm not part of the union, so there are open dance auditions or open calls. And what happens is normally lists for these auditions are created really early in the morning. So you want to get your name on this list to make sure that you are seen at said audition that you're going for. So if it was a normal audition day for me, I would wake up at about 4:30 in the morning, take the train, go into the city, sign up on a random piece of paper outside of an audition studio. Then I would go to the gym because that was open and I could hang around there until these studios, the audition rooms were open. Then I would go back to the audition, wait around for, 4 hours or so. And in that time, I'd either audition, get a call back, do the whole thing. Once my audition day was over, which was generally around 1 or 2 p.m., I would then go to work from about anywhere from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then I would come home. And on days when I didn't have work, I would try and take dance class. But I'm really open on my Instagram about it. I was working a lot pre-pandemic. So it wasn't really a balance between taking as much class as I wanted to. So yeah, it was basically audition from 4:30, 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then work from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that was my life.
Sometimes I think about just the crazy hours that we all stayed up before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like personally, something that the pandemic has taught me is I was just running all over the place. I was spreading myself way too thin, and not prioritizing my health or my sleep or food. Cause when you work that long hours, sometimes those things that are so essential just slip through the cracks because we start prioritizing, work and money and the things that we also need to do. But it's just insane, how much we all worked before the pandemic.
Yeah, a lot, 50 something hours a week. It was exhausting, right.
Yeah. So the pandemic hit. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, I said I don't really miss that aspect of it.
Right. No, not at all. Yeah. So the pandemic hits in mm-hmm. March. How does that affect you as a dancer and your career? All those things.
Immediately, I remember it was Friday the 13th, and I had two auditions that day, which both went great. And then after those auditions, I was walking on my way home, and I got emails from three of my jobs saying that they were going to be closed until April. So at that point, I was like, oh no, I don't have work. And, a lot of people had been really optimistic about it, that it was only going to be 2 weeks or a month or whatever.
That was literally my gym. I remember in the break room, we got the email, the gym closes at 5 today. And all of us were like, okay, see you in 2 weeks, guys, month vacation.
I was not. Normally I'm an optimistic person, but I have a friend and he teaches virtually in China, and they had already been shut down for 3 months. So I mm-hmm. had known what that was looking like. And I was like, this will happen here. So I was kind of thinking more long-term. It sounds so bad, but I was a little Debbie Downer. I was like, we're done until 2021. And this was in March.
You called it.
So that happened. I took a little bit of a break. And by that, I think I took 3 days off. And immediately, every fitness professional had transitioned to Instagram. And they were doing a lot of Instagram lives. I mean, I'm sure you remember this time. It was everyone doing a live. Mm-hmm. Everyone was doing a free class or over Zoom. And it just didn't sit well with me that, majority of our clientele were the typical 9-to-5 people that hadn't lost their work, hadn't lost their jobs. And it just didn't make sense that all of my fellow fitness professionals were offering all of these free classes when, you know, a week ago, their clients were paying anywhere from $30 to $45 a class. So I just had to kind of sit and evaluate, and I wasn't feeling drawn to offer a bunch of free classes, so I didn't. And I decided on my Instagram account to ask my followers and my clients, I was like, hey, if I do a Zoom class, I'm going to charge $16 for it. Would you want to take it? And I had an overwhelming response of yes. And so I decided to host my first Zoom class. I had about 46 people sign up and pay and take for it. And that's when I decided that this could be a business. You know, as soon as money's involved, I was like, okay, let's make this all super legit. And here we go. And here we are.
Yeah, just something that I love about you and is something that like I find really inspiring about you is that you know your worth and you don't waver on that at all. Like, I think especially as women and, you know, I don't know, I have a really hard time asking for money. And even though like, I know that I'm qualified to do things and you actually talked about this on your Instagram story mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. But like, I just love that about you is that you have so much self-respect and you know what you're worth and you don't have a problem being like, this is, you know, this is what I'm worth. And knowing that you're giving a really, really awesome product. So I just think that that's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. And it goes hand in hand with that, right? You have to have that service or that impact behind to back up what you're asking for. So, you know, that's always at the forefront is my client experience. And if that's there, then yeah.
what a perfect segue, because we're going to move into talking about Dance From Home, which is something so amazing. I can't wait to dive into it. So that was when you first got the idea from Dance From Home, or is this something you had been thinking about for a while?
This was not. Dance From Home came after that first Zoom class, but the idea of I never wanted to keep working five jobs. That was not something that I wanted. So it's funny that my 2020, one of my New Year's resolutions was to figure out a stream of income or something that I would want to keep when I booked a Broadway show. So in my brain, I was like, okay, I'm working 8 shows a week and have a very full impact schedule. I believe in multiple streams of income. What could that be and what could that look like? And what do I want that to be? So back last January, that was kind of my like, I want to figure out what that is. And then the pandemic hit and I feel like I did figure out what that was. And that was through Dance From Home. So I didn't know it was going to be an online dance fitness business, but I knew that I wanted to have something like that. So go ahead.
Keep going.
I taught that first class and I think it was honestly like the next day I just woke up. This is what happens with my ideas. I kind of just wake up and I was like, Dance From Home. that's what it was. And that's kind of where my ideas come from is I just wake up and I'm like, this is it. I mean, luckily that happened and I kind of just ran with it. It's had a lot of different variations and offerings and it looks very different today than what it did last March, which is exciting and something I'm proud of, you know, being willing to adapt and change it. But yeah, it's been a long process.
Yeah, that's actually my next question was how do you feel like Dance From Home has changed since we're coming up on a year now?
I started it as thinking that I wanted it to be a platform that offered a variety of classes, meaning I wanted dance cardio, I wanted choreography, I wanted stretching, and I wanted strength classes. And I had this idea that we were going to have these four pillars and that people would really want that and it would be great. And it did work. That was working for about the first 2 months. And then it started to not work. And I expanded my team fairly quickly. I was offering Broadway classes, I was offering pop, I was offering, you know, I didn't really have a streamlined niche. And so instead of, I kind of did the opposite of what people tell you to do in business is niche down first and then expand. But I did the opposite and I expanded really wide, and now I'm super niche. But it took a while to figure out what my niche audience was going to be, what made me really fulfilled and what I wanted to keep showing up every day to teach. So yeah, the process was honestly just making a lot of mistakes. And part of that was offering too many classes. Part of that was hiring too many people at once. And, you know, we've had to have some tough conversations. I've had to let some people go, and at the end of the day, it's a business. And so I have to remind myself that I have to look at it like that and take my ego out of it and just make the choices that I had to make to sustain it. And that's where we're at today. So it's not always easy. And I think it is where it is because I had to make those hard choices.
Mm-hmm. I think like what you were saying before about how, you know, a lot of other companies start by like niching down and then expanding. I totally agree with you and how you kind of went about it, because I think some of like the best advice I've ever gotten about starting a business was launch fast and adjust as you go. Cause you learn the most through that. And I feel like sometimes when you niche down too quickly, it can be very limiting. And I've heard a lot of stories of entrepreneurs like starting something and then just like selling their business. Like after it kind of got successful, they just sold it because they didn't really want to do that. And I feel like with you and Dance From Home, like that's something you're so passionate about. So, you know, it was probably best to just be like, I'm offering dance classes and like have this awesome idea and then sort of figure out like who wants that, who is your customer as you go along. So I love that you're so flexible with everything that's going on, especially in such a crazy year.
It took a lot of adjusting. And it took a lot of just like realizing when something didn't work that it wasn't necessarily a reflection on me or my team or anyone. It was just, you know, we just had to pivot. And so that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever have a moment that was like, this could be huge?
I've had a few of those moments. Honestly, my most recent one was my current launch of the newest version of Dance From Home. I was really nervous about switching to this new membership model, and I was nervous about asking for as much money as I am monthly for it. But I knew there was a lot of value and a lot of impact. And for those listening, our new kind of action or mission statement is we help Broadway lovers reconnect with the joy of live theater through dance choreography, dance cardio, and industry master workshops. So right now we're super niche and we really serve the Broadway loving audience. And so with that latest relaunch and membership model, I was super nervous. I was hoping I would get 20 of my current clients to sign on for it. And I ended up getting 72. And so when that huge number of people that I was able to start serving, I was shocked and I was excited. And that was a big, like, oh, this can be something so big and so much bigger than I originally thought. Mm-hmm. And there are people that want this out there, and I want to help them feel good with dance and feel reconnected to Broadway and theater. And I think it's really going to grow. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like I said, someone from my college sent me your profile, and I know like three or four people. I think you did a challenge in December, I want to say. And a lot of people from my school were doing that. And I was like, oh my God, like this is so cool. So I definitely think, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it's something people needed this year, and which is why like the pandemic, I think, was such a perfect opportunity to launch. And I definitely think that this is going to be something really big for sure. Can you talk about what it's like building a team and bringing people on to like join the Dance From Home team?
I mean, I mentioned this a little earlier. I started with four of us. We expanded to eight, and now we're back to three. So I've gone through a big journey of bringing people on and having to let people go, and it's been really hard. But I started with my, honestly, three of my best friends. And the first person I asked was my instructor, Leon, who is still with us today teaching. We had worked together for about 4 years teaching dance and dance cardio at a studio prior. And I just knew he was the energy. His energy is electric. So I immediately asked him, back when I was trying to have like a strength program attached to it, I asked one of my best friends, Sean, if he could come on and teach that, because it wasn't necessarily something I wanted to do. And then for the stretching component, I asked my other best friend, Rochelle, who is a master in that, to take that on. So we kind of had those four people and those four pillars. And then we had a lot of clients, and I started expanding to more class times, but I was getting burnt out teaching 7 classes a week. So I decided to hire on a few more instructors. But then there came a point when the business had to make that shift, and I knew I was going to go into this membership model that we are today. And I just couldn't sustain keeping on that many people. So I had to let them go. And I think what I've learned the most about managing a team is just having to be so open and honest with them. And sometimes it's hard when they're your friends, because you have to have those conversations. That's just like, this is a business conversation, not a friend conversation, although we are, but you know, explaining where certain decisions have to come from, and just really leading them and knowing, you know, that they trust you in it is something that you have to play around with and you have to learn. But I think there were definitely moments when I wasn't the best leader as well, you know, and I've learned from that. I've learned how to have good team meetings now, and presentations and checking in. And, you know, it's a lot in your first year of business to also try and manage 8 people. Like, that's just silly of me, you know, like no one should do that. So, you know, but I did, and I guess I'm here to learn the lesson and share it with everyone. I think the biggest thing I've learned is just to start small and stay small with a group of people that you can actually manage and be like a great leader for, and then build on that. And even when you have to make tough calls, just be honest, you know, be honest with people, and it'll all be okay.
Yeah, I definitely think that being honest as a leader is one of the most challenging things, but so important. And in the long run, people respect you and appreciate it way more than, you know, trying to sugarcoat everything. Yeah. What is the best part of running your own business?
The best part is that I am my own boss, and I love, obviously, being a creative. And so it's really fun for me to just think of something, run it by my team, and then just go with it. You know, I think that's one of the most exciting parts, is that creative aspect.
Yeah, definitely. I love like being creative and just not having to, or I guess I don't want to say like not having to like run it past anyone, but you know what I mean? Not having the restrictions that sometimes come along with working for like a corporate company. Absolutely. And then on the flip side of that, what do you feel like might be the worst part of running
having
a business?
Having to run everything. you know, the first, you know, statistically speaking, the first 2 years of business generally don't turn a profit. And so it is hard being a business owner and pouring 18 plus hours a day into your business, and then sometimes not seeing the results that you want, or, you know, you make the wrong choice, or whatever, you make the right choice, and it's all on you. And so sometimes, you know, you put that pressure on yourself because you're so passionate about it, and because you want to succeed and you want to serve others. So, you know, it really is all consuming, excuse me, in the first bit of it. So I think that is one of the hardest things.
Yeah, especially when it's something that, you know, you're passionate about too. It's not like it's, you know, something like a good idea, but it's something you don't care about. You know, like this is, you care about it and you care about the product and you care about the team. So it has this whole other like emotional aspect of it as well. So I've talked to so many of my fitness friends who are kind of all like starting to, if they haven't already, shift over into working for themselves, either doing Zoom classes or starting some kind of business. So what is something that you wish you knew before you started a business?
I wish that, I guess I wish I would have known the time commitment, which if you have time now, then it's the perfect time to start. I wish I would have known the upfront expenses of starting a business. I guess I just like, none of that really occurred to me. And I honestly, I know I started wide and niche down, but I do wish that I would have had like a clear idea of who I wanted to serve and how I wanted to serve them a little earlier on. You know, it didn't have to be right away, but like, I wish it would have happened a little sooner, although I don't regret anything I've done. Yeah, I think those are a few things that I wish I would have known going into it. But if you have that entrepreneurial spirit and are invested in it, then there's not much else. You know, you're gonna pour everything into it. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I lost my spot in my list of questions. Okay, we're good. I was like, wait, we already talked about all that. Okay, so something that I also love about Dance From Home is the community aspect of it. I love that the community just feels so strong, you know? So what is it like to be a part of the Dance From Home community?
Well, if you're a part of the community, you're probably stoked about theater, and theater people are some of the best people out there. And I think that is really the driving force of it, is that everyone has a common love for something that is bigger than themselves. And I also just really love that our community is not centered around physical body results. So it's kind of really refreshing to have a group that's just like, hey, I'm here to dance because I love it. And I'm getting stronger in some areas because I love it. And, you know, there's nothing else attached to it. And I think that's super refreshing to have. And that's what they all connect over. And it's really special to be a part of it. And they're just a bunch of, you know, theater people. That's what it is. They're happy. They're the ones singing in the showers and in the streets and know the trivia. And it's just like, you can go to them for anything, and they're so supportive. They have different jobs, they work in different fields, but it's so cool having that connection. You know, like you and I were talking about earlier, you always have theater to kind of fall back on or get into, and that is the thread with them, and it's really special.
And I don't know if this was intentional. Maybe it was with, you know, the theater thing, but it feels like a cast, you know, like you know what I mean, like you don't get that energy anywhere else, but like maybe sports, you know, you have a team, but that's what it looks like, you know, as kind of like an outsider looking in, is it really does, it looks like a cast. And that is such a special bond. That's such
I was super intentional with calling them the ensemble, because being a part of an ensemble professionally, and there is just such a bond between the group of humans that are the backbone of, you know, any sort of show or anything. And so, yeah, you get that same sort of experience with them and with the ensemble. It's just, they're all there for each other. And it's really cool.
Yeah. I love that so much. Especially for the people that you're trying to connect with as well, you know, it definitely brings back that feeling of like theater is alive. So that's amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the long-term vision for Dance From Home?
Yeah, I always think the long-term is always such a tricky question given the pandemic. So honestly, I try not to think too far in advance because I'll just psych myself out, or, you know, I want to remain adaptable. I do think we will be on this kind of membership program definitely for a while, and I'm sure it's going to keep growing throughout the year and might make a few tweaks and changes just to better serve everyone. I do think we will stay online, but who knows? There might be a world where I teach one class in person. I never had a desire to own a brick and mortar, so I personally don't see that happening in the future. But I still see it being a strong connection and community for theater lovers, because not everyone lives in New York and not everyone gets to, you know, take the classes and see the shows all the time. And so there is still going to be that desire to be a part of the ensemble. And so I think that might look differently even a year from now, but I think it's going to keep growing.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that you don't plan too far in advance, because I also feel like this year has really taught us that, you know, you can plan all you want, but
yeah,
nothing ever works out.
I like the messy action, going in, jumping, and then adapting.
Do you feel like running a business has had an impact on your fitness
journey? I know I mentioned earlier, but it honestly has been all consuming the first 10 months. And how lucky am I to say that it was only 10 months of being all consuming when I've heard, you know, crazy stories from other business owners, it goes on for years. And so I really put everything on the back burner of what I need, what I needed as far as my passion. I always talk about how my passions are my fitness training, my dance training, and performing. I wouldn't necessarily say my business is my passion, because I like to look at Dance From Home as a business, and I need to separate my ego from that so that way I can make those decisions that need to be made for the business. And with that in mind, I really put all my passions on the back burner for the past 10 months. And so I had, you know, I was not training pre-pandemic. I was so passionate about my fitness, and I love lifting weights, and I love being in the gym and taking class, and it just completely stopped for me, and I couldn't get back to that that connection with it at all, really until end of December and into now is when I'm slowly starting to get reacquainted with everything. But yeah, it disappeared for a while, and that was pretty rough, but it happens.
Yeah. And I think, you know, 2020 for a lot of people, you know, for a million different reasons, and it was just a hard year for everyone. But I do think that like a lot of people sort of put their health and fitness on the back burner. So I know you're definitely like not alone in that, of just prioritizing other things, you know, with the world kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
So which brings me to the last question I have for you, which is, what advice would you give to someone who maybe was active pre-pandemic and now for whatever reason has put their fitness, their health and fitness on the back burner and wants to 2021 start getting a little bit back into it? What advice would you have for someone like that?
I would say that you have to find something that makes you happy, because if you're doing something that brings you no joy, there's no point. Like, we don't need to waste time doing things we don't love anymore.
I love that.
Lifting weights for me is, you know, is that it's such that traditional, like, I go to the gym, I lift weights, but like that brings me joy. You know, that doesn't mean it bring you or anyone else joy, right? My Dance From Home people love theater, and that's why they take my classes. But I would say find the joy in whatever you're doing. If it doesn't make you happy, don't do it. I would say start slow and steady and then go slower. That's literally talking about it. But you cannot put that pressure or guilt or whatever that is on yourself or your mind or your body, because it's not at the same place. We're at a totally different place than we were 10 months ago. So it's not fair to just try and jump into whatever routine you think you need to be doing. So I would suggest, you know, starting slow and just really listening to what your body and your soul needs. So yeah, that would be it. Find something that makes you happy, start slow.
I love that. 100% agree. You know, like as a personal trainer, I get asked a lot of like, what is the best workout for this? What is the best workout for this? And I always tell everybody, I'm like, the best workout is the one that you enjoy doing. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was so much fun. I love talking to you. Where can people find you? Where can people find Dance From Home?
Yes, where can you can up? Find me on Instagram. I'm mostly on Instagram. My handle is Megan Bowen and then an underscore at the end of that. Dance From Home, it's the same thing at Dance From Home underscore. You can sign up. You can join our email list. There's always a link in the Dance From Home bio. My doors for my February ensemble or going forward always open at the end of the month. So if you follow along on our Instagram, I will always update and post when we are opening spots for the next round.
Amazing. And I'll have all of that linked in the show notes. So if you just go to the podcast, scroll down to the show notes for this episode, then you can click on all the links and find everything there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Megan. This was so awesome. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Movement and Mindset podcast. Definitely go check out Dance From Home. They just opened their February doors, so you can just go to their Instagram and it will tell you exactly how to sign up for that. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, definitely go check us out because we're switching things up over there, going to be posting a lot more, really just making it more of an educational resource for the listeners here and for anyone who just wants to learn a little bit more about how to connect their movement to their mindset. So the new handle is at movement.and.mindset. So give us a follow. Let me know if you came from the podcast, and I will catch you all next week.